In a derelict cottage near the Irish village of Glemskeke, Detective Cassie Maddox stares down at her own face on a corpse. The dead woman not only bears her exact physical appearance, but carries ID identifying her as Alexandra Lexi Madison, the very undercover identity Cassie created and abandoned years ago. The victim lies peacefully arranged with a single precise stab wound to the chest. This impossible coincidence launches a daring plan. Since the murder isn't public knowledge, Cassie will step into Lexi's life, becoming a dead woman's doppelganger to catch her killer. As she prepares to inhabit this stolen identity, Cassie doesn't realize that this investigation will force her to question not just who killed Lexi, but the very nature of identity itself. Whitethorn House stands at the end of a cherry tree-lined avenue, a perfectly proportioned Georgian beauty existing outside modern life. Inside live four Trinity College postgraduates who've formed an unusually tight group: Daniel March, the wealthy heir who owns the house; Justin Mannering, a fastidious lawyer's son; Raphael Rafe Highland, an artistic trust fund kid; and Abby Stone, who rose from foster care through determination. When Cassie arrives posing as Lexi, the housemates welcome her with unsettling warmth. Their lifestyle feels anachronistic: structured mealtimes, reading by firelight, piano instead of television. They share everything with casual intimacy that blurs boundaries. Cassie realizes this resembles not a real family, but one from children's books, idealized and protected from the outside world. They had collected fragments of what they imagined family life to be, Cassie observes, building the family none of them ever had. Following Frank's advice to look for the cracks, Cassie notices subtle tensions. Two boundaries emerge. Their pasts are strictly off limits, enforced by Daniel's no pasts rule, and they skillfully redirect conversations whenever personal history arises. Cassie's investigation reveals Lexi as a masterful chameleon who turned identity transformation into art. Each layer exposed another fabrication. Lexi had previously been May Ruth Thibodeau from North Carolina, stolen from a deceased child, Naomi Ballantyne in New Zealand, Alana Goldman in San Francisco, and Mags McKenzie in Liverpool. Her original identity was Grace Corrigan, who fled home at 16 after her mother's death. Lexi's extraordinary talent wasn't just creating paper trails, but completely transforming her personality for each environment. While Cassie struggled undercover, constantly aware of her facade, Lexi seamlessly became exactly what Whitethorn House needed: bubbly with housemates while maintaining academic distance with outsiders. The case further complicates with the discovery that Lexi was pregnant when murdered. Had this unexpected development prompted her to finally settle down, or triggered another planned disappearance? And was the unborn child's father involved in her murder? Beyond Whitethorn House's idyllic walls lies a community consumed by hatred. Glenskye's villagers view the students as privileged interlopers and symbols of historical oppression. Their hostility escalates through vandalism, bricks through windows, dead animals in the mailbox, and disturbing graffiti reading "West Brits Out" and "Baby Killers Out." This animosity originated in 1915 when Daniel's great uncle William March crossed class boundaries by socializing with villagers. When a local girl became pregnant, naming William as father, she was ostracized and eventually hanged herself. William suffered a breakdown and was institutionalized, while his brother Simon framed the tragedy as a warning against mixing outside one's natural level in society. The resentment intensified when the Marches refused to sell Whitethorn House to property developer Edward Ned Hanrahan, who planned a luxury hotel and golf course that would have revitalized Glenskye's dying economy. Hanrahan becomes a key suspect when Cassie discovers he had been secretly meeting with Lexi before her death. The facade crumbles when Cassie finds a cigarette tin containing a note from developer Ned to Lexi. Meeting Ned reveals the shocking truth. He'd been negotiating to buy Lexi's share of Whitethorn House for 200,000 euros, a profound betrayal. Years earlier, Daniel had transferred ownership to all five friends as a statement of trust and shared future. By secretly attempting to sell, Lexi was dismantling their collective dream. The timing coincided with her pregnancy discovery. This wasn't an impulsive escape, but a calculated exit strategy. She needed money and a clean break to start a new life with her child. The truth about Lexi's death emerges gradually. Abby found Ned's note in Lexi's jacket. When Lexi lunged for it, Daniel restrained her while Rafe read it aloud. The scene exploded into chaos. Furniture overturned, glasses shattered, Lexi fighting desperately as years of buried resentments erupted. In the violent chaos, someone grabbed a kitchen knife. The blade flashed, and Lexi stumbled backward, her white shirt blooming red. The back door slammed, leaving silence broken only by ragged breathing. Daniel took control with disturbing precision, dispatching the others to maintain appearances while he and Justin found Lexi collapsed in the cottage. Checking her pulse, Daniel declared her dead, a critical error, as she was actually in a coma that would end hours later. Their cover-up was methodical. Daniel sent Justin for Lexi's personal effects, her keys with purple keychain, silver wallet, and torch, staged to suggest her evening walk. They repositioned her body, erased traces, and swept away footprints with branches. At the house, Daniel ordered everyone to strip, bundling bloodstained clothes with regular laundry. Most chilling was his creation of their alibi, turning back every clock and forcing them to replay poker night, even dealing Lexi's hands and mimicking her betting patterns. As Cassie's investigation climaxes, Daniel confronts her before Frank summons everyone for questioning. At Whitethorn House, Cassie reveals Lexi's note, and Rafe accuses Daniel of deliberately letting Lexi bleed out. Cassie shatters the moment. "I was pregnant. I was going to have a baby. It died." Chaos erupts as Rafe realizes the child was his. Two weapons emerge, Daniel's antique revolver and Cassie's police firearm, exposing her identity. Daniel raises his weapon, forcing Cassie to fire. As he falls, his expression shows unsettling serenity. The groundskeeper burns Whitethorn to ash. The survivors briefly face detention before dispersing. Rafe to banking, Justin to teaching, and Abby alone with her unfinished PhD. We all wear masks, personas for different environments. But what happens when the mask becomes more appealing than the face beneath? For orphaned Cassie, Whitethorn offered belonging, even if built on deception. Lexi's story reveals identity's fragility, yet becoming an expectant mother threatened her artificial family, shattering their illusion. Cassie ultimately accepts Sam's proposal, yet keeps the tape of her final conversation, a reminder of how easily she could have disappeared into Lexi's life. Perhaps the most haunting question is who we might have become. As Cassie hopes Lexi experienced all her million lives in her final moments, don't we all carry these ghost versions of ourselves? The true mystery isn't who killed Lexi, it's understanding which possible self we embrace and which we leave behind.